All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to the book of Acts, chapter 9. We're almost finished with Paul. We will finish it tonight. If I end up a little bit early and get through it all right, we'll go ahead and start on the last one that I'm going to give you. Of course, it's probably going to take a month, month and a half to get through the last one, but I've enjoyed this study. My, I've learned so much, and I hope you have as well. All right, let's look down, please, at verse 15 once again. And in verse 15, we read, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." He's talking here. The Lord is talking to Ananias, whom the Lord called to lay his hands on Paul so that he could receive his sight. Now, you remember when he saw the Shekinah, when he saw the glory of the Lord, it blinded him. And so now here is the Lord telling Ananias to go and anoint, put your hands on him and pray for him. And the Lord said that he go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, after we went through the Shekinah appearing to Saul of Tarsus, we then started a little study, I think about two Wednesday nights ago. We started looking at the contributions that some of the tremendous contributions that this final God-chosen apostle, Paul, did and gave to the church. All right, he was a fearless servant. You remember the 11 tried to get ahead of themselves and tried to help God out, and they chose Matthias to be Judas's substitute. And there was another fella that they threw into the mix. Well, you know, one of them's got to win, right? I mean, stop and think about it. One of them has to win. So they chose Matthias. And so what happened to Justice? Well, nobody knows, because he is never mentioned again in the scriptures. Well, what happened to Matthias? Well, we don't know that either, because he is not mentioned in the scriptures. So I think that's a pretty good indication that Matthias was not the man that God wanted to replace Judas. And so all the other apostles were called to be apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's exactly what happens here in this ninth chapter when Paul is making his way into Damascus, and all of these things are going on around him, and then this light appears, and bang, he goes down to the ground, and he is called by the Lord right there. And so Saul got saved, and he became the apostle, according to verse 15 here, who would bear the name of the Lord before the Gentiles and before kings and before the children of Israel. So that's Saul, all right, who became the apostle Paul. Now, the first contribution that I mentioned to you was the fact that Paul brought to the church her last and greatest apostle. All right. Now, I don't know that you could put them all on a list and say this one's greater than this one. I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But Paul was absolutely one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. There is absolutely no doubt about that. And so that's why I did not hesitate to say that Paul brought to the church her last and greatest apostle. So we saw that he was chosen to bear the name of the Lord to the Gentiles, and that's what he did. He and Barnabas, and he and Timothy, and he and Luke. I mean, they just went everywhere, sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. They went all over Syria, all over what is today Lebanon. They went all over the desert area down below Beersheba. They went over to Turkey. They went over to Greece. They went to the islands in the Mediterranean and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, ending up in Rome, Italy, and preached the gospel there to the Gentiles. So the Apostle Paul was greatly used of the Lord. All right, now the second thing that Paul brought to the church was, and this is what we looked at last week, was her system of doctrine. Paul was the one that systematically explained to us New Testament Bible doctrine. He took the Old Testament and brought it into the New Testament, showing us all the pictures and all of the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Paul, you remember, who said that all the things that were done in the Old Testament were simply things that pictured and represented New Testament truth. All right. So when he talked about the rock where Moses hit the rock and the water came out of it. Well, our rock is Christ. All right. The water just kept pouring out. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus does for us. He just keeps giving. All right. There's no let up. He just keeps giving. And the manna that was given in the wilderness. And Paul said all of those things were for examples for you and for me. And we can see how the Lord provided for them and then realize that when the Lord Jesus came, he brought our salvation. All this back here was a picture of that salvation. And now Paul took all that, weaved it together, and gave us the doctrine of the New Testament church. All right, let's flip over real quick to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, once again. Let me just read to you the point here. In chapter 3 and verse 3, we read that Paul said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, folks, listen, the church was a mystery. All right? Nobody had ever seen a church before. Nobody knew how a church worked. Nobody understood the concept, and Paul is the one who, in these epistles, took the church and explained it to us. He explained how this mystery was made known to him. And therefore, when he wrote concerning the church, it was to be accepted by the believers in the church. All right? You remember in 1 Corinthians when they were abusing the Lord's table, and Paul wrote to them and in chapter 11, and basically he told them, he said, look, you guys are doing this wrong. I mean, you're doing this wrong. You don't come to church, Sunday morning and Sunday night and see who can outcook one another. You know, this is church is not a pie judging contest. You know, he said, you have houses, eat at home. The Lord's Supper was something, though, that was being abused. And Paul said, you're not to abuse that. I mean, that is a beautiful picture, and the Lord Jesus did this for us as an example of what we should do in being thankful for his body and his blood that was broken for us. And so it's the Apostle Paul who explains that so that all of us can grasp what the Lord's table is all about. And folks, it just goes on and on and on. There's the tongues issue over in 1 Corinthians and in the book of Romans. And Paul explains the tongues issue. There's the women preachers issue. And Paul explains the woman preacher issue. And by the way, let me just say for the record, women are not supposed to preach. You say, well, God called her. No, he didn't. God cannot violate his word. And God said, if a woman would learn anything, let her ask her husband. All right? And then, husband, you come and ask me, okay? All right? You don't know how many times that's happened. Pastor, my wife asked me a question. See if you can help me with this. All right. And gals, let me tell you, sometimes y'all can ask some doozies. Mercy. You really can. All right. Let's move on. All right. So all these issues were dealt with by the Apostle Paul. The matter of giving. It's explained to us by Paul. The matter of spiritual gifts, all explained to us by Paul. Deacons, all explained to us by Paul. Prayer, explained to us by Paul. I mean, everything that you could ask for in the New Testament church, the Apostle Paul commented on it, and by revelation, divine guidance, Paul dealt with all the issues that have ever come up throughout the entire history of the New Testament church. You say, well, how do we know what's right and wrong? You go by what the Bible says. And Paul dealt with it somewhere. Paul dealt with it. It's not complicated. We're the ones that make it complicated, aren't we? All right. So in my personal opinion, Paul became the greatest of the apostles in his service and in his suffering for the Lord Jesus. He was a tireless worker before he came to Christ. And he worked day and night persecuting the church. And once he got saved, he did not slow down even a bit. He just kept going for the Lord. All right. So the Lord gave us this system of Bible doctrine. Paul had an amazing mind. He had an organized mind. He knew how to organize things. And of course, the Lord led him all along the way. All right. Let me see something here. I'm going to show you how Paul worked. Now, you still remember chapter, let's see, what was it, 17? No, where was it? Where was I just reading? In Acts. Where? 9. That's right. I knew that. Hold on. All right. So the Lord said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me." All right. So don't you think that it would be natural if the Lord chose him and then chose him for a specific duty, job, responsibility, and that was to take the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I mean, don't you think that it would only be rational for God to give Paul all these things pertaining to the Gentile church? I do. You remember that Jews were blinded by the Lord. All right. That's not to say that a Jew cannot be saved. All right. That's not what that means. But as a people, as a nation, because they rejected Christ, God has put a blinder over their eyes. And they can't see the truth. Folks, I've been over there and talked to them. And they just cannot see the truth. Now, you talk to some of those Hasidic Jews, it's like talking to the wall. And they just go in circles. And they think they've done a great thing when really they haven't said a word that makes sense. But they think they've done a great thing and really tripped you up. No, they haven't. But they think they have. And the whole point is, Paul said that by revelation, God gave him these things. And through that revelation, he has now given to the church what the church needs to know concerning the doctrine of the New Testament scriptures. All right, then, number three, what's the other contribution? Another one. Well, thirdly, Paul gave the church her system of government. All right? You know, if you don't have order and if you don't have organization, what do you have? You have chaos. A chaos that's going to lead to anarchy. That's what you've got. You see, the church is not just a living organism, but the church is a living organization. All right? It operates. It functions. And so as an organization, the church needs a system of guidelines and rules. It needs a system that it can operate under that will give the church authority and guidance. You see, folks, any organization without rules, without regulations, without structure to guide it in its service for the Lord is only going to lead to disaster. That's just the way men are. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. All right? How do we know that? Paul told us. Paul told us. He's the one that told us about that. And so the Lord Jesus said, as the that Jesus was the head, and as the head of the church, the Lord Jesus would have the church conduct her business, her affairs, in a decent and orderly fashion. Take your Bible and flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14. And let me show you Paul's advice to the church here. All right, now you are familiar with this 14th chapter, I'm sure. And there was a question about the matter of speaking in tongues. All right. And so Paul sets the record straight here. Now look, please, at verse 40. Look at verse 40. After Paul sets the record straight, the last verse of this chapter where he sets the record straight on the matter is this. Let all things be done, what? Decently and in order. That is good advice for any congregation of people, any church. All right? Let all things be done decently and in order. Paul wrote extensively in the epistles on how the New Testament church ought to function. I mean, Paul is the apostle who teaches us about baptism. He teaches us about the Lord's table. He teaches us about the whole matter of speaking in tongues. What a mess that has become in the last 110 or 12 years. All right? He taught us in the New Testament epistles about the offices in the New Testament church, about giving in the New Testament church, about sending out missionaries, from the local church. Man, we've got preachers all over the place, and we got missionaries all over the place. And thank the Lord for each and every one of them that got their basic understanding and call here at the Church of the Open Door, and then went out and duplicated what's been going on here elsewhere. So praise the Lord for that. I get such a kick out of Curtis King. He used to be, when he first left and took his own church, he would call me at least once, twice, sometimes three times a week. And I would say, hello. And he would say, are you busy? And I'd say, no, not busy at all. Just sitting here goofing off. And he would say, oh man, I called you at a bad time, didn't I? And I would say, yeah. Well, I'll call you later. No, what do you want? I'm just kidding you, Curtis. And I'd have to convince him that I was just kidding him. And so he would say, well, I got a WWPND. I said, a what? A WWPND. I said, what in the world's that? He said, well, that is a what would Pastor Norris do? And then he would tell me the problem that he had to deal with in his church. And he would say, I'd say to him, all right, tell me what you think you ought to do. And he would tell me, and if I agreed with him, I'd say, well, you didn't need to call me, buddy. You got it. You nailed it. But then there was a couple of times where you know, he couldn't see the forest for the trees. And so he, I would say, what would you do? And he'd tell me what he'd do. And I'd say, let's reevaluate this. And so we talk it over, go back. And I remember every time Curtis called me, all the times when I first started out, where I would call Glenn Matthews and ask him what he thought I ought to do about this or that. And you see, I'm reminded all the time by those who have gone out from here they'll call me. They'll say, Pastor, you said this in a sermon probably 20 years ago. Do you remember what sermon it was? No. Are you kidding me? I got one just this weekend, just yesterday, from Kevin Bodie. And he's serving in a boys' home out in Morgantown, West Virginia. And boy, the Lord's really using him and Cindy and blessing them to reach those young men. And he said that they're coming in this weekend. And I cannot ever forget you preached a sermon on the moving of the glory cloud. He says probably 21, 22 years ago. And he said, that sermon was the one that really gripped my heart and started me on the road to surrendering to full-time Christian service. And he said, do you know where that sermon is? And I said, Kevin, I have probably 50 or 55 or 60, I don't know how many I've got, notebooks. Many of them are so full you can't get another message in them. And they're all in a drawer or in a cabinet. And I don't know the order that they're in. And I said, it would probably take 2 days because you know if I start looking for it, it's going to be in the last notebook and it's going to be the last page that I get to. I said, it would take forever to find it. But I'll certainly keep my eyes open, and if I see it, I'll copy it and email it to you. But you see, folks, Paul taught us how missions works. And he taught us how we are to duplicate ourselves. Duplicate ourselves. And then go out and do what the Lord's called us to do. When Dale Kidd was here, many of you might still remember Dale and Robin. And Dale was an assistant pastor, did all the announcements and everything, but he was also the school administrator. And Dale came to me one day and said, Pastor, can you go to lunch with me tomorrow? And I said, yeah, sure, as long as you don't quit. He said, how'd you know? And I said, well, nobody takes me to lunch unless they're going to kill me, you know? And you're about to kill me tomorrow. And we laughed a little bit. And we went over and had lunch. And while we were eating, he said, Pastor, he said, I have sat there night after night, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and I've watched you do it. And I'm just watching you, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, if he can do it, I can do it. I said, yep, you can. That's what you're supposed to think. He said, I see your system. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I see it. And he said, I just think the Lord would have me to go out and pastor my own church and do in that church what I'm watching you do right now, knowing that I can do it too. Amen. How do you argue with that? I mean, how do you argue with that? You don't. You know, you just say, praise the Lord. But that's the how the Lord builds a church. All right? That's how the Lord prospers a church and fills that church with the person that he wants in it. All right? So, Paul was God's chosen vessel to set the right foundation and for the church. All right, then number four, we're talking about Paul's accomplishments. Number four, Paul gave the church her greatest missionary. All right, now think about that for just a moment. Folks, no man has inspired and led the church in carrying out the Great Commission as did the Apostle Paul. He has been the inspiration for multitudes. Paul is the only man beside the Lord who would say of himself, follow me. Do as I do. I mean, Paul walked that kind of road. And he could honestly say that. I mean, he taught the church that the church must always be moving forward. Paul was not satisfied with the church being static. But in his mind, was always striving for the church to be on fire for God and reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the only waiting the church was ever asked to do was in that 10-day period between the ascension where our Savior went back to heaven and the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples and filled them with His Spirit. All right, that's the only waiting the church has ever been asked to do. But you see, that waiting was with a purpose. And that purpose was for them to pray and to get close to God and to get even more close to God so that when the Spirit did come, they would be ready to get going immediately with the task that the Lord Jesus gave them in reaching the lost unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And folks, when the Spirit fell upon them, I mean, they wasted no time. They wasted no time. They went right over to the temple area and took their blessing and the Spirit of God and the rushing mighty wind. I think it just all simultaneously happened all at the same time. And then they stood and they called a crowd around them. How big was that crowd? I don't know. But 3,000 got saved. All right, 3,000 in one service. That's pretty good. Yes, indeed. So Paul was a chosen vessel to set the example of missionary service. When I heard Brother Bob DeWitt Sunday afternoon, we were at lunch, and Bob was talking about how some of the things the Lord has done, and right there, the Lord just impressed my heart. Let him preach tonight. Let him preach tonight. I'm so glad I did. Wasn't that good? Man, I'm telling you, I was ready to attack hell with a squirt gun after that service. What a powerful message that was. And I'm telling you, folks, you all, unbelievable. He walked out of here with a ton of money. And he had tears in his eyes when he left. And he hadn't even counted it yet. And you just gave it to him. I didn't take up an offering for him. You just gave it to him back there at his table. God bless you for that. And he was so excited he couldn't hardly sit still. Well, you see, Paul was a chosen vessel to set the example of how missionary service works. And how's it work? Well, you just get filled with the Holy Spirit and you go out and you start preaching, and the preaching is blessed of God and people get saved. I could tell you story after story of things that have happened. I've told you many of the stories that have happened when I've been on the mission field, either me or me and Glenn or me and Larry or me and Ray. I mean, God does some wonderful things when you're willing to go and get outside of your comfort zone. Amen. We were in India the first time. Brother Cherian said, I want you to preach the graduation service. I said, okay. And I said, where are we having this service? And he said, right over there. And he pointed to a big empty field. And I said, that's not air conditioned. There's no air conditioning right there. He said, no, sorry about that. And he said, but we will put up these canvas things to keep the sun off of you. I said, oh, okay. Well, the night before, we went to eat somewhere. I don't even remember now really where it was. But we went to eat somewhere, and the fella told me that he had fixed me an American dinner. Well, I believed him. I mean, you know, why should that guy lie to me? And so I ate the dinner. Well, about the service was the next morning at 11. And at about 10 o'clock, we gathered, and Dr. Cherian came at me with this great big robe and one of them diploma hats and all these shoulder things and, you know, what's your degree in? Okay, well, that's this. And what's your master's in? Okay, well, that's this. And then what was your doctorate in? And well, that's this. And then you get this and you get that. And so I'm standing there. I look like a decorated war veteran, you know. And finally, he said, it's time to march in. Well, I mean, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was so hot, you could not stand it. And I walked up on that platform, and when I did, I got nauseous. I thought, oh no. And all I could think of was, I'm gonna die. I'm just gonna die right here. And I looked at Cherian, and he walked over at me, and he said, you okay? And I said, I don't think so. He said, can you do this? And I said, I guess. I'll at least try. And he said, well, all right. He said, we're gonna give away the graduate degrees, and then I'll introduce you, and you get up and preach the gospel. He said, there are many unsaved people here, many. And I want you to preach the gospel. Well, I looked down at my little notes that I had, and I thought, uh-oh, this is not appropriate. I mean, I was going to preach on those graduating preacher boys going out and doing something for God. So I looked down at my notes again and I thought, wow, that's not going to work. And while he was introducing me, something just snapped. I mean, it just snapped on the inside. All of a sudden, I felt fine. You know, I still noticed that I was nauseous, but I felt pretty good. And I walked up to the platform, to the microphone, started preaching, and I preached extemporaneously, which means no notes, just, you know, you ever hear the preacher say he's going to preach on whatever God lays on his heart? Well, I don't do that very often because for some reason God forgets to lay anything on my heart, you know, and that's embarrassing. But nonetheless, that's what I did that night, that morning. And boy, when I gave the invitation, you could see grown men weeping. Oh, the power of God was on that service. It was unbelievable. And I gave an invitation. And I said, if you'd like to get saved, walk down here and let someone take a Bible and lead you to Jesus. Man, here they started coming. All these graduates, their parents, Hindus, coming forward to get saved. It was amazing. And by the way, many of them could not speak English. You say, how do you explain that? That's a God thing.
Amen.
Yeah. I only know one language, hillbilly. That's all I know. That's all I know. And I preached in hillbilly. And the Lord must have translated it for them. Down the aisle they came. You should have seen those graduates bawling their eyes out, kneeling down beside their mom or their dad, with just weeping as they're trusting Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Man, we had a service in three quarters, I tell you. And when the thing was over, I went back and stood at my seat, and I looked out. Sweat was just pouring off of my forehead and my running down my face. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden the nausea came back. And you ever see it get black out here on the periphery? You ever seen that? And then it starts coming in like this. And then it goes back out, and then it starts coming in again. It gets further and further each time, until it's right here and all you can see is just a little sliver. That's how I felt. And I sat down. And when I sat down, this guy that was a part of their college brought a bottle of water over to me, cold water, and handed it to me, took the lid off and handed it to me, and I downed it. I mean, rapidly. And then he said, if you'd like to walk out, I'll walk out with you. He said, they're going to be a little while yet. And I said, yeah, I want to go. And so we got up and walked off to the side and went down a back set of stairs and got out of there. When I went down, as almost to the apartment where I was staying, I just got terribly sick. And the guy had to help me into the apartment. But thank God, all those guys got saved. And women, there were women that got saved too, moms. Moms and dads. And every time I've ever talked to Dr. Cherian or seen him since, he mentions that service.
Wow.
Folks, the same spirit that fell upon these apostles is the same spirit that has filled your heart the moment you trusted Jesus as your Savior.
Amen.
And what God has done, God can still do. So keep that in mind. So all I can say is, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Now, one more thing real quick. He's in verse 15, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings. All right. Do you remember Acts 26 to King Agrippa? King Agrippa. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In other words, I wish all of you'd get saved. So that was Paul. What a guy. What a guy. All right. Well, hope that helps you. Hope that helps you. All right, then the last one we're going to do, let's go ahead and tell you. Last one we're going to do is the cloud and the return of Christ. And man, I have found some wonderful stuff. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. And I pray you'll bless this. I pray you'll help us to realize all of Paul's great contributions to the church. And Father, we come helping that, asking you to help us to emulate the Apostle Paul. I pray you'll help us to have his passion and have his heart and have his unbridled desire to see folks get saved. So, Father, bless and what's been said and use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.